you better.
I will indeed.
Thank you.
If you can open as long as possible to get some fresh air through here before we close.
So it's my great pleasure to welcome back the Poet Laureate of Sonoma County, Bill Vartna, and to welcome for the first time to Many Rivers Books and Tea, Kim Shuck, who is a poet, weaver, educator, doer of piles of laundry, planter of seeds, traveler, and child wrangler. Pretty good I can say it that fast, I think. Stuff is in there. She was born in her mother's hometown of San Francisco, one hill away from where she lives now. Her ancestors were and are Salagi, Sauk, Fox, and Polish. For the most part, she earned a degree of fine arts, a Master of Fine Arts degree in weaving in 1998 from San Francisco State. And you can find her work at www.kimshuck.com. And Bill Vartna is presently Poet Laureate of Sonoma County. His work can be found at Red Room online. So welcome, and
thank you.
We look forward to this work about a Bay Area family of poets. At least reading, I should say.
Yeah.
Thank you.
To the east, where grandfather lives, to the north, where the cold comes from, to the south, where warm winds blow, to the west, where Grandmother Earth has her place, I offer my song, I ask clarity for my confusion, ask purity for my heart, that I may know my purpose, my harmonious place in the order of things.
Prologue. Where morning sun first touches the land of the people, I start on a journey to the place of beginning, on the good red interstate made sacred by the people. I travel across ancient land, carry earth and abalone, sage and tobacco, return to the home place on grandmother spider's web, return to the home place, to the people of the White Lake, return to the home place with gifts and stories. Return to the home place.
Changes. We were talking about feeling, what scares, what angers, what excites, what denies, and image, how to convey the meaning within illusion and separate that from fact of time and place, emptiness and surmise. We were entering the complex cathedral of being communal, the plug-in, hook-up complete, now throw the switch. It was hours before I understood what had been said. Connection established still lags in movement from point to point, pitch and tone, celebration and grief, raging. Studying each line carefully, I perceive erected images nesting within skull, chest, fingertips, toes, unraveling. I'm too slow. Contemplation has become habit, responses united to a steady, slow stream. Hours pass as the road unwinds, the layers like rainbows shine clear. The connections all wired, impulse flows, odds 12 to 40, 10 to 1, entire spherical awareness, until finally a refrain beating, it's wrong, it's wrong. Exact accuracy required from this side of time, reflection of universal joints turning, pitch and roll, powering my nine-sided flight into the one true sky. We were talking about joy, entering totality, dust motes that swirl and fall along window panes, music that goes towards accuracy of need, dancing, holding, come together and splinter into light. We were talking about translation, about the law, the underside of it, which is separation, the indivisible, that is also what is true.
So that's one poem each from, we started with Carol Lee's Morning Prayer, and we went to Lee's On the Good Red Interstate, and ended with Paula Gunn-Allen's Weirds. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about them. I'm going to keep it short because, one, no matter what I told you, it wouldn't be enough. These were dynamic people. And I'll probably have emotional problems. So I'll start with Lee Francis, because that's where we're going to read some of his work next. And I met everybody back in 1973. Carol Lee ran the coffee gallery in North Beach. And Paula read there, and Lee read there. And Lee was not so sure of his poetry. He was kind of awed by his sisters at that point in time, and because they were really dynamic. He was just out of school in theater, and he did have some problems with the way we presented work. So he created the Performing Poets Workshop, where we would go in at Friday about 6 o'clock, and we left Sunday night about 8 o'clock, and we were at his house the whole time. And we would, sometimes we'd fall asleep, but most of the time we didn't. We learned how to perform and what we were doing. And as a project after the workshop, we performed Dylan Thomas's Under Milkwood, which was a lot of fun, and Carol Lee and Paula and Miguel, and Miguel is Carol Lee's son.
Who was Laura. Also the first great love of my life, which is why I just got the look you saw.
Can you talk a little louder?
Yeah, I can.
Did you say that? Can you just say that a little louder?
Who was also the first great love of my life, which is why I just got that look you saw.
So, so then Lee, after that, then he and Mary, well, had Lee four,
yes.
I think, around that time. And then he got his BA and MA in psychology at San Francisco State, and he created a workshop on empathy, and he taught that for several years. I was one of his guinea pigs. I was the guinea pig of each one of these people, and I was a very grateful guinea pig. Paula and Carol Lee had poetry workshops that they did, and I was one of the guinea pigs. We learned from each other, so she learned what worked, at least on me. And Paula and Lee were also, and Druid Spechtel, who was another poet that was over at the house all the time. Mary Tallmount was also in Paula's workshop. So, and then Lee got his PhD from the Western Institute of Social Research, and I was going to do this, and I almost forgot about this. These are the Hanksville. So this is, we'll do those. And then his PhD thesis became Native Time. And I, do you remember, was that Beacon?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Beacon. And that was where Lee found that if he wanted to have lots of pictures, he was going to have to pay for them, which he didn't like that idea very much. And then he created and founded the WordCraft Circle of Native Writers and Storytellers, which is an international organization. And his son, Lee Four, is now his national director. So, shall we?
Yeah, go ahead.
This book is in four parts. has a wonderful introduction by Lee. The four parts are called Journey Songs, Naya Songs, which are the mother songs. They came from the Laguna Pueblo tribe, and which is a matrilineal tribe. And so Lee created Naya Songs. Paula and Carol Lee do it in their way.
What's the name of the book?
This book is On the Good Red Interstate. And the third is Changing Songs, and the fourth is Blue Mountain Songs. So I'm going to do one of the Journey Songs. Lee loved to go to truck stops.
What is it called?
Dream House. This is called Dream House. It's from the truck stop in Illinois off I-70, exit 18. It was on Wednesday, the 22nd July at noon, and it's in Troy, Illinois. Illinois. As she waddles from her truck, the big belly driver flinches from the heat, oblivious to the tourists from Canada staring at her from their car. The smell of testosterone oozes from the driver's mental condom and impregnates the air in the lounge where the movie of choice is Con Air. In the restaurant, the driver announces that he bought his truck but didn't pay the highway tax. The other driver has his own story. Been driving 40 years, says the white-haired driver. Quit when the wife took ill. Just stayed home and made a miniature dream house we'd always wanted since we was first married. Pale blue eyes stare into a past reality of his life, and I remember another time when Cubero trading was the only reality I understood. Built it in the kitchen, on the kitchen table, and when I finished, I took it into our bedroom, and oh my, did she smile. Put it on a special shelf I built just so she could see it. The clatter from dishes being cleared from tables sounds like mice scurrying between the walls as the universe stops to listen. She had a little smile on her face looking at that house when she passed on about a week later. He takes a long drag from an unfiltered Camel cigarette, and smoke drifts up like a spirit seeking to return home. Don't miss her too much now that I'm driving again, except at night when I'm on the road. I get to thinking about her, and I can still see that smile. Slowly the old driver gets up, says to no one in particular, "Have a good one."
Family meant a different thing to me. I've already said that I was in love with Carolee's son at one point. But what they also meant to me was, collectively, they changed the face of Native writing for Native people. It's far more internal to the community qualification, and I understand that, but it's something that's really important. Because There are these wild expectations that are put on Native people. I'm standing in front of you now, at least one of you thought when I stood up and said that, "You don't look Indian." Probably more than one of you, but we are in Sonoma, so it might not be true. I tend to be slightly hipper than most people. It's just a fact. There are expectations, and you either meet them or you don't. And what this family did was they were unabashedly mixed race. Nobody was saying they were full bloods, and a lot of people say that in art because it's an expectation. And so they really changed the vista. It's okay that I live in the city, that I write about that, you know. And all of these things are in part less of a fight for me personally as a Native writer because these people lived and wrote and also in my city. So I feel pretty intense about them all. I also spent a lot of my childhood in Oklahoma, so this is something that I wanted to read. It's called The Territory, Oklahoma I-44, WB Marker 238, Thursday, 23rd July, noon, Tulsa. The smell of sweet sage welcomes the people to the heart of the territory. Mind-weary drivers collapsed in the TV lounge, endure the antics of Jim Varney, an earnest African adventure. Standing at the fuel desk, the driver says he can't drop his load till tomorrow, to no one in particular as he hunts through the giant rack stuffed with pamphlets. Hot, humid air mingles with sweet sage, and grand blue sky filled with cloud people gives quiet comfort to those traveling through the heart of Indian country.
I'm going to do a Naya poem. I think I'll do these Naya poems for Carol Lee. I try to keep you in present time, message bringer woman. Disconnect you from a common past. Guitar-playing poet, build boxes for all my memories. San Francisco nights skipping down Telegraph Hill, Santa Fe evenings drinking with movie stars, Cubero mornings climbing sandstone rocks, Washington daylights looking at monuments. I still wear the shirt you made last year, artist drawing mentor. Greet each day with a smile. Mother and grandmother place memories in little boxes. Santa Monica, swimming in the ocean. Albuquerque, walking city streets. Sausalito, listening to John Handy. San Fidel, playing kick the can. I pass the 50 to you again. Horse rider, Capricorn. Spend quiet moments alone. Entertainer, teacher. Add memories to little boxes. Corrales, where Louis always played. Fairfax, talking all night long. Las Vegas, hoping to change reality. Seal Beach, sharing our grief and pain. I visit a thousand planets, counselor companion. Consider well your message, Oak Clan, cousin, sister. Stack boxes logically in order. Red for sun and passion, blue for water and rest, green for earth and action, yellow for corn and change.
Read one of Carol Lee's. Corn Children for Wendy Rose. We gather our bones from many places, look for familiar marks to determine our identities. We share the same landmarks, places, buildings, local folks seen with different eyes. Simon, Leslie, Paula, and I. I speak mostly of earth with brush and paint, desert, mesa, hill and mountain, rock, sagebrush, yucca and cedar, thunders and cloud people. Earth colors, sky colors. Hand and I proclaim on canvas and paper these visions in my head, in my heart. With my brush, I describe Earth Mother to remind my children the land is sacred, this sacred altar that holds the length of one star's breath. With my pen, I speak of relationships. With words and the ordering of them, I tell little stories, keep hold of that harmony I am part of, that order of things reflected in being and spirit. It seems proper that language should reflect harmony, a giving way, a moving out, a coming in. These things we speak about from memory as corn children, these traditions that we keep not knowing why sometimes or how we know the right ways. Many corn grandmothers watch over us and whisper into the wind to remind us of our duties. You should never take more than you need. If you need some reeds for the new whisk broom, then you go to the river and tell the spirits all around you there that you have come for some reeds. You must ask them for permission, and then you must thank them for providing for you. In this way we keep balance, in this way we keep in harmony. We should always be courteous to everything. That's what Grandma used to say. Bones of thoughts are in those burial mounds or are around them, and sometimes they're disturbed when the mounds are plundered. But those thoughts remain for us if we respect our ancestors, thoughts that come to tell us that's the way it is, that's the way it's to be done. Spirit corn mothers watch over us, remind us to remember, send their thoughts to us. You must respect everything that is here, your family, your elders, the animals, birds, fish, even the rocks and bugs, grass, trees, sun, sky, clouds. You must remember these stories we tell you. We tell ourselves to remember, Simon, Leslie, Paula, Wendy, and I. That we must respect everything put here to restore harmony, restore balance. We gather our bones from many places, examine them, mark them, number them. Sometimes they speak to us, speak through us, become words and pictures to pass on, like the echo of Grandma's words. You should leave one bite of food on your plate and offer it to the spirits. That way you will always have enough to eat. You must remember your ancestors so they'll remember you.
Okay, I'm going to... One thing I did not mention about Lee, and Lee was bisexual, as is Paula. And when I met Paula, she was married to Joe Allen. And my memory doesn't work so well anymore. I don't remember, but it was around 77, 78. She divorced Joe, and I was invited to her and Judy's place, Judy Gron. And they just took me in. It was quite wonderful for me because I hadn't been with a lesbian couple before, and it was new and it was wonderful. And they both supported me. In fact, my first book, In Concern for Angels, over there, they were the other. I didn't want to just do my own book, so they said, well, we'll sponsor it. So they're the OWL Press there. It stands for Out West Limited. So Paula, a little bit about her. She got her BA in 1966 at University of Oregon, MFA in 1968, University of Oregon, a student of Robert Creeley. She was working on her PhD thesis when I met her, raising her three children with her then husband, Joe Allen. She had already lost one of her kids to crib death. That was just before I met her. So in 76, she got her PhD from the University of New Mexico. And here's a list of her poetry books. I was going to bring her. She's known mostly for her critical work on Native American literature. And that's what she's known for. But her poetry is just wonderful. The Blind Lion in 1974, Coyote's Daylight Trip in 1978, 1981, A Cannon Between My Knees, 1981, Star Child, 1982, Shadow Country, 1987, Weirds, 1988, Skins and Bones, and 1997, Life is a Fatal Disease. In 1983, she wrote a novel, The Woman Who Owned the Shadows. In the 1980s, she began reading auras, which was... and she did some work with the crystal skull, which her brother, John... I should say something about the other two. It was a very creative family. Kathleen, who was the second daughter or sister, she was an opera singer, and she lives in the Boston area. And John, who I met once, I met Kathleen also, but I only met John once. We were born 5 minutes apart. And he makes movies, documentaries mostly. So it's a very creative family.
I handed it out.
Pardon? Oh, okay, great, thank you. And where is Weirds? This is from Weirds, which I published in 87. It's from a book called Runes. This is number 4. A poem called Runes, not a book called Runes. I'm very nervous tonight. I don't know why, but I want to represent them. Somehow the brightness was wounded, and what had been meant for shadow was playing in the sun, a quirk of lunation, precession. Zodiacal turns not taken fully into account, and negative space understood positively. A gestalt, the foreground flickering behind, the background brilliant before, and all around a teetering, a wavering, thin in the crystalline air, or as voices spun into light, a harmony, melody belied, dark in the place of light, memory in the place of reason, sun in the place of stars, an awkward occasion, then. Something simple, direct, misapplied, plunged into meaning. I regret that I could not utter what was in me to say. It was a blade incision, a forever open vein.
This is the first segment from Runes. Out today, imagining rainbows, surf high and tangly winter tide stirs things up, healing. Storm out there up north somewhere, gulls sheer off course incisively, intent, like child gaze, a certain quality of still slowly surrounds.
This is America the Beautiful. These were the last poems of Paula Gunn-Allen. This is done by West End Press, not my press. I just wanted to read a little. Paula had a wonderful sense of humor, and one of these poems, I thought I marked it, but it's, maybe I did. Here it is. America the Beautiful, 27. What's alert? I asked. I don't know, was the reply, except it takes on different shades. The alert today is orange, and they say it's huge. A huge orange alert. Does it have long pointy ears? Is it furred? Does it have an elephant-type hide? Maybe it has teeth that gets sharper as its colors change. Is it in the chameleon family? Be alert, the command. Be aware. I don't know what's alert. And now they want me to be aware. How does one become alert, I wonder? Where do alerts live? Why does everyone talk about them as though they were real?
when no one's ever seen one, so far as I know. And I ask you, when can one be a human again? Who wants to be alert, yellow, orange, or whatever hue? Why do I have to be what I'm not? I really, really don't want to be aware.
There's another one in the room. Walking on water isn't too difficult. There's a certain spider does it all the time. Plane and angle to be properly applied. It's what they said the surface tension creates its own momentum, making many things possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Kara Lee had, this is Kara Lee now. Oh yeah, I should introduce Kara Lee just for a short one.
Just for giggles.
Okay, I'm... Kara Lee was born in 1934. She was born on the Riz. And her given name was Message Bringer Woman, which is pretty heavy for a baby to handle. And so I ran into her at the coffee gallery. She ran an open reading there where she created a featured poet, and they had a big board, and they used to sign the board, and I don't know who got, who went, I think Norman Posner, the owner of the store, got the board, but there were a lot of great poets there that signed that board. She also ran the music in the coffee gallery, and she was running the room at that time when Bill Graham came in to see Janis Joplin playing and introducing Janis to Big Brother, so she was there for that as well. In 1974, she created, with Barbara Gravel, the Bay Area Poets Coalition. And we did a couple of big festivals where we had 300 poets in San Francisco reading for over a week. And then she became, that fall, the Bay Area, or the San Francisco coordinator for CPITS. And that took such amount of time that she quit the coffee gallery and the Bay Area Poets Coalition.
Can you tell people what CPIT is?
California Poets in the Schools.
Yeah.
And it started out as the Pegasus Project at San Francisco State and then morphed into a thing that was much larger and grander than that, which still to this day brings working poets into elementary and high schools, middle schools and high schools, in order to teach children what the business, what the work of poeting is.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And when she became the statewide coordinator of California Poetry in the Schools, she changed it from a centralized place that sent poets out to a community organization that where the community's poets were the ones who went into the schools so that the community got to meet their poets. And that was a big change, and she had a lot. I was living with her and her husband at that time, and there were a lot of tears and anger during that period, and because she had to fight with a lot of people because they wanted to keep it the way it was, and she didn't see any way it would grow. But the other way. So in 1975, Conversations from the Nightmare came out. That was done by Casa Editorial. And then in 77, Message Bringer Woman came out, and she read at the Poetry Center, and then KQED invited her to do a reading on NOVA, I believe it was, which seems weird because that's a science thing, but and it was so well, I guess lots of people listened to it, so they did it again and sent her to New Mexico, where she read in front of all the places she was writing about, where she read the poems there. And a lot of the poems we can't read, or I can't read, I don't know about Kim, but her early poems were poetry poems, were a little bit of Spanish, a little bit of English. And then in the 80s, she got invited to go to Germany, where she taught Germans about how natives lived. And they created communes in Germany, and God, my language is bad. Anyway, and so then she added German, so she has poems that are part English, part German, and Kiri's, she has poems with her native tongue in it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she did, everything became part of the poem, which.
And Lebanese.
And, yeah, Arabic, there is some Lebanese Arabic. So she had about 8 books by the time. I think it was 8 books. So let's do the reading.
Yeah. I just wanted to say I was one of her students as well. And then I was her TA for a while in her classes. And. For me, most of her work is about mapping. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do symbols, and then we'll do the
pick through which one.
Whistle stops. Yeah.
Okay. Right on.
Symbols. Symbols release energy, move from mind to matter, matter very much, become stored knowledge, precious entities. Collected as beads or bites, restored on recycled trees, somewhere long ago on an ordinary day, a human mind perceived nature's random paintings as recorded reflections of familiar things, wind prints on sand or watermarks on rocks holding line and shape together to form animal, fish, fowl, tree, branch, leaf, human faces, human bodies. Somewhere on earth on an ordinary day, a human hand understood the magic of transcription, used stick, stone, and bone to etch symbols from her mind into wood, sand, and stone.
We're going to read some. I'm going to pick around in a series called Whistle Stops. San Francisco. Triptychs settle in my mind. You, me, you me, him, you, me, her, you, us, we, they. I carry these motifs around, not connected yet, interlocked inside me. We will remain unidentifiable on the whole, and you must decide which you, which her, which him, which me lies trapped upon the page, unnamed, unspecified, indistinguishable from all the rest. So many lives seep through my bones, and as many faces slide past my eyes unmarked, I will reproduce the meanings I derived, those whens upon the pages for you to think about. You do not answer my calls, cannot receive communication from this mythical land. A disconnection of some sort, yet I respond to your insistence, and you are not there to answer your need for me. You glow somehow, wrapped in secret tragedies, holding court in private just after we said suffering was not good for the soul. I remembered myself watching those created attractions I once gathered round me, and saw the distance I've moved towards new beginnings, new forms and shapes to symbolize my universe.
I should say Whistle Stops is divided into a bunch of cities that Carol Lee had to go to while she was creating this new California Poets in the Schools. So she was going to all these places and talking with the school administrators and saying, "This is, you have these poets in town and you should hire them." So she's going, so this is called Sacramento. This is, "My contention, good sir, is to note the nascent diversion of any mind into moments of alternate fields, those other places where one might focus contentedly. The sensation notwithstanding, the pulse of the time causes argument out of all proportion to being. Contrived, you say? So be it. Discourse among us, then. Taxidermy is not my favorite sport, though I can stuff with the best of them."
Asilomar, "I cannot possibly absorb every word ever written. Defend my life with quotation marks, my livelihood with litanies as sainted lives. Those bones gone down in printer's ink. Sometimes I envy the suicide of black roses and mermaids to the provocative agony of vivisection. The sweet clutching fear of letting go through fascination with the scythe can clutter cloudy days."
You want to go one more round or should I do California?
Well, why don't you do California, but we've got about 10 minutes.
Okay. California. This is the sum up poem. "In the valley of the blind, the hand symbols of the deaf communicate to no one. In the village of the deaf, the language of the blind makes no sense. In the city of the mute, neither blind nor deaf will understand the lack of response. When we are all equally blind, deaf, and mute, perhaps we will seek new ways to make sense of and understand each other's languages."
Why don't you do one of yours?
Okay. "This is none of those people. This is me. A thing more active than peace. Crust of orange and red at the edge of the world. The photos don't do it for me anymore. Lit too with joy and escape from whatever system was in place. From soldiers or powers over and these magics that only work once. And then only with the sacrifice of your own morality. And then other pictures. My great-grand already crippled on a buckboard with that horrible and everywhere dark indigenous gaze. Her very own way of finding something, a thing more active than peace. Part of me might damn you for leaving us both thief and victim, as you have my hand full of owl feathers, and enough choices made to make things complicated. These are deep equations and can't be retaken. Difficult, but there's your work, and there is mine, and the best that I can do in this moment here in this long frequency light is to assure you that I will make effort that mine not harm you in the knowledge that it is not always easy to know how any of that works, and sometimes not possible if you do."
This is one of mine, and it's a poem beginning with lines by Paula Gunn Allen, "As It Spined." And the lines, there's three lines I took. "The surface tension creates its own momentum, making many things possible."
I think Kim read that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. "The logic of any moment, a scarred surface fronting silence and spatial emptiness, tension like a ship anchored on waves, creates a deep breath of imagination. Its talons grip through flesh and own the bones. Its wings' momentum lift up from material reflection, making a ripple of light we can carry many lifetimes and confront things we never thought possible, but now probable."
Oops. Okay. This one's called "The Great Urban Indian Poem," because one of the great native poets of our day has said that nobody's written it. So this is for Sherman Alexie. The Great Urban Indian poem has already been written, but most people missed it. The fancy dancer has finally finished his urban regalia, collected his last windshield wiper blade for his Oklahoma-Oakland back bustle, complete with the Harley gas cap rosette. Found himself lining up next to a red-headed San Francisco girl, her shawl edge marked with graffiti from outside of Eli's Mile High Club, and John Lee played the two-step himself. The Great Urban Indian poem is ongoing, but most people will miss it, because there will never be a release party or even a book, and Deb Isle, although she may want to, will not play the event. And the tribes involved are conflicted because one of the poets has no CDIB card, and the other is from an unrecognized band that had never been more than obscure. And she refuses to wear the official tribal dress because, well, it's horrible and not even historically relevant, and it makes her look like a cloth muffin, and she'd really like the cute girl in the shawl competition to look at her, and the muffin dress ain't getting that done, which is a whole other can of politics. The Great Urban Indian poem will be found when you least expect it, and yes, parts of it are even scrawled onto those fussy coffee cup insulators, but only coffee from small local cafes, because culture is at its root not something that can be sold in chain stores. There will be no signs directing people to the poem, and it will not be reviewed or published in a sanctioned literary organ. But pay attention, because if you hear Jim Pepper in the background, you might be close.
Poem beginning with lines from Lee Francis, As It Spines. As It Spines. And the line from Lee is, in the dream I hold the basket where the mushrooms go, grove. In vistas of lunar landscape, the ocean is supplied by imagination. Dream an internal language, I speak to past and future selves to hold earth lessons in the basket that is eternity. Where is the new moon that starts the cycle of light upon the water? Mushrooms bring vision here, grow from reflection of this emerging world.
I know who I'd call if I wanted forged river pebbles. This morning it was borrowed memories of mortar stones by the Hiawassee and a sound in my wrist bones that I couldn't identify with 20 and change of years listening. There was this fingertips memory of curves that I believe my eyes have seen but will have to beat if I ever want to truly recognize. There are these moments when I'm glad of the still quiet pecan trees by the Neosho who mention me from time to time, and even more valley oak and wild rose, this city raccoon music on my roof, and this trickster fog, less blown in by the suggestive Pacific and more drawn, coaxed by the promise of August heat in the valley. It's such a specific language, this business of a life.
Poem beginning with lines from Carolee Sanchez, As It Spines. Her line is, or lines, three lines. Chaos is humane. It restores clarity, resumes the natural order of things. Chaos waves deep in the unconscious. Is reason a particle, ego comfort? Humane like a charted star in the Milky Way. If this order cannot hold, restores itself, it, this order cannot hold, restores itself with a pulse of clarity. All is one. This body resumes itself upon the fabric of space it takes up. Natural is timeless. Order depends on telepathy of a tacit agreement we make. Things are meaning.
All three of the poets we've been reading tonight told me over and over, don't explain the poem, never explain the poem, never explain the poem. And I'm about to break that. You haven't seen me do it yet, but now I am. Cherokee war songs were about vanishing. You need to know that. This is called Another New War Song. We will sing the song that will reveal you, the new one, the one we've needed for so long, and we have it now. And I only speak for myself, only represent myself, and you speak only for you, and there is no community opinion that anyone could carry to water on a morning thick with yesterday's undrained heat and today's pinking sky over the bay. There will be argument over this song, but I like that argument better than the other smaller ones. growling or spreading wings over seed corn or worse. Yes, this we can sing about with our whole intention, and who knows who will join in.
How are we doing on time, Jim?
Got about a minute.
If you have a few more minutes, you know, like 5 or 10 more minutes.
Okay, well. This is the end of Runes from Paula Gunn Allen's.
I have thought about ladders and two-way streets and making change over the counter, value given for value bought, and entropy and silence, the fading edge of hope frayed like the edge of an old slip taken down in half-light, but no metaphor reaches beyond the darkened corners of the room. No vision will restore the dead. No lie will twist what is so to be otherwise. But oh, I wish I knew who it is to be alive, how it is to be alive, to be able to simply recognize the horror embedded in memory, waiting patiently, being, but realizing makes such pain in me, no easy matter to simply write what happens now or then. It is beyond me on ordinary days to acknowledge what I know and what I see. I was carefully constructed to forget what is before my eyes. The conqueror teaches that, you know. So we will never say what is so, so no one will ever know.
Tracking the enemy is such an exhausting thing. The woman's cheek and unknown cheek pressed against the burning wall of her house or the heaving pavement in this violence of denied violence. The psychopathic edges that everyone has in some measure. And here it's permitted. Must keep them startled. Send them on, like the Bosnian woman hiding in London. Her child wearing donated clothes handmade for another child in California. The color and embroidery chosen particularly by a woman's hand, an unknown hand, an unknown child, another touch, sent on, and probably sent on again as the cotton was good and sturdy stuff, the burn scar on a woman's arm, a child's arm too deep to be soup or anything quite that nourishing, unknown eyes, but meeting over evidence of a lesson provided if not learned, unknown eyes, oddly the same brown with flecks of green, another lesson, our shared genetic textile puzzle might offer someday, or even on that one. A thing moved on, that touch and touch. Tracking the enemy is so tiring. The skin handed on, handed over, sturdy stuff, similar palm prints, comforting collection of words, a mediation for headache and small yellow flowers, an unknown hand, an unknown gene, an unknown symbol of protection and silk thread on a child's jacket.
Home place. Now, their mother was born on St. Anne's Day, so that's a reference here. At the center, this is from Lee Francis again. At the center of creation, I stand and bear witness on this St. Anne's Day. At the edge of Blue Mountain, I raise my hands in thanks to the mothers who have cared for the people, who have cared for me, and I sing an honor song to our mother. I sing an honor song to our sisters, and I sing an honor song, and I sing an honor song.
Sunchant Cycle 1. She wanted to remain a spy, undisturbed in her passivity, or a confirmed Marxist with no new creed to expound. The crisp edge of this hallucination cut through tongue-thick, wobbly words. She told herself the difference was doing or not doing the stuff they called their life. Anything and everything is bought and sold here, and it's so easy and so hard all at once. Rome, Paris, London, Mexico City, Tokyo, Hong Kong, centuries reconstituting levels, reflections of duplications, the deviations, only slight variations of everything that ever was. Trace the vintage of any line, each word's transition through any age discloses truth or humor or deceit, and many times the lack of vision beyond that day.
This is the title poem from Spirit to Matter. Beyond January sunsets, through golden doors of mercy, beside empty gardens lie mysterious mountains of wonder. Around timeless treasures hidden throughout the ancient realms, among carpenters, cobblers, and assassins, life blooms brilliant and wicked all at once. Underneath pale green rainbows, below lemon trees and haystacks, behind summer's picket fences, masts and shields hold heaven hostage, before hallowed altars over blood-caked ruins of forgotten eras, of peopled nations, lovers struggle to nourish an unknown future. Between the years we've lived and loved, before we named and claimed each other, within our fantasies of self, God stuff swirled as invisible thought, waiting to be born. That's it, yeah.
What's the title of that poem?
That's From Spirit to Matter.
That's From Spirit to Matter. That's
yeah, it's the title poem. Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Well, thank you so much. That was really wonderful and much appreciated. And thank you all for coming tonight to Many Rivers Books. And today I just want to point out, we have a donation bowl over there. We encourage you to contribute to it, and we share the proceeds with our speakers. See you, Jim.
Just to let everyone know, both there's two books. There's Bill's books are on the table, and then what are the two books that are 40% off?
Yeah, the Carol Lee Sanchez and the Lee Francis
those
books
are
40%
off
tonight.
Okay, so you can take advantage of that. And the rest of the poetry books on the table are local poets, so you can take a scan. We love to carry local poets in the store, and so you can see what we have, a sample of what we have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Also, I would like to bring your attention to a reading at the Redwood Cafe. Lukewarm Water is going to be reading there with Patty Trimble, who is going to be reading with Vince Delgado on as a musician, and she's going to be reading with him. And the special guest is Joyce Jenkins from Poetry Flash.
That's when?
That is May 6th at the Redwood Cafe in Cotati. So I'll.
What about tomorrow?
Oh, I'm reading tomorrow with.
I was just going to bring to people's attention this little.
Yes.
Loving Where We Are, Poems of Sacred Geography, tomorrow 7-9 p.m. at Spastwell United Methodist Church. That's right across from Safeway. An evening of poetry to honor and celebrate this land so that so generously holds us, with Bill Vartnaw, Terry Errett, Gwen O'Gara, Penelope LaMontagna, Larry Robinson, Catherine Hastings, Phyllis Meshulam, Iris Dunkel, Judith Stone, and Bruce Horton. So there's little notices over here in the counter as well.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
That was great. Thank you.
Nice to hear Carol's words again.
It is good, isn't it? I love it every time we read her stuff.
Yeah.
We've done this three times now.
Yeah.
Four times, if we count the radio program.
Yeah. Thank you, Mary.
Pretty wonderful. for more than one reason.
The palm reading stuff. I have tape.
What?
I have tape.
You do have tape.
Come on a ride over here. Yeah.
I actually thought that I had seen you before when you walked in. I was like, I know I've seen you before.
Have you seen me?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm so grateful for your badger. Because I was too tired to come out, except for my badger. This was fabulous. This was so good. I'm just blown away. I wish I had chocolates to show you, but I have pretty much sold them.
Well, good for you.
It requires, there should be a new one by the end of summer.
About a week and a half. But I'm usually pretty good.
Well, I just want to talk to you about that.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. Definitely write me on that.
I started to feel better one day.
Yeah, do you? There's a little
email for your website.
There is. It's wretched. I could give you better.
You should just.
And then I give you a better thing.
Why don't you just give me your email address?
That'd probably be a good idea. I'm sure there must be pens and paper.
Here we go.
You can write provided me with directions.
Someplace it right on my tire.
Charlie joined me for 2 weekends. I did a thing at UC Berkeley. It was this kind of Infinite Frontiers thing. Pretty wild people, and it was wonderful. And Carolee and I had a group of people with us and created
actually
the whole.
Because I've always felt native, and I don't have any proof.
Yeah.
But I thought was.
She's not the most. Someplace in my
family,
I have that.
I'm well aware of the effect. The funny thing is that I'm a genetic freak because I'm lighter than my Polish family, too. I am literally the blazingly white thing in the middle of any family portrait.
My memory is it was quite wonderful.
But
no, I'm the dark kid.
But having said that, even if I were brown, I couldn't speak any more Cherokee. I go back to Tulsa, and people who don't know me come up and speak Cherokee to me.
That's great.
Good luck on that.
The old ladies ask me for directions to Cherokee. Assuming
and
I will
say
understand
what?
Well, I give them the directions. My grandmother wouldn't speak if I know where they're going.
That's
actually
wonderful.
I think the last time when I think I said was I believe the Hertz County is past the bus of Will Rogers under the airplane.
And you can say that sure.
And I was right. Because that is where the Hertz County is. Sort of the last time I was here.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So are several others.
They have that biplane hanging
out
the ceiling.
Yeah, I've been ongoing project for years now in space.
I actually asked them how they had that thing up there.
Like it's
said,
going
oh,
to
happen.
And then it's just.
I was like, how do you have that stuff to
buy a bunch of books or write them in or write them in?
It's an extreme.
It's all over and boxed up.
Thank you for the card.
I'm sorry to see that before.
No, really. I couldn't now because I'm sort of speechless, but I just feel like I just want to talk to you.
That sounds like fun to do.
Thank you.
I talk a lot.
I believe you.
I try to.
That was so interesting. I've never seen you do that before.
I don't know.
Bill, breathe.
That was good.
Breathing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think
it's just so important to you. Actually, the only times I've ever seen you close to tongue-tied was reading Carolee's work and talking about them. I think you really know them all, and it shows.
I do.
You know, the first time I realized that I had been raised differently than most people was in Paula's class.
There's only one
of four
of it.
When she said that
I can
most American
tribes
children raised by their mothers.
I'm really glad.
And I go, is it everybody?
It's all about orientation.
Absolutely.
Orientation. Get oriented right, you can pretty much figure it out.
year.
I didn't even know how traditional my family was.
Someone gave me on that interstate quite a while ago. It may even have been him. Were you ever at a poetry reading at French Garden with a bunch of folks and you had copies of the Red Interstate in your trunk?
Yeah.
Then you are the person who gave it to me.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it a lot.
Good.
Now that's an awesome book, isn't it?
I was looking. My computer crashed not that long ago. And I thought I had lost poems. And then today I worked out where they went. Because I knew I'd saved them before reinitializing them. Anyway, I knew I'd saved them somewhere. And I thought they were on the thumb drive, and in fact they were. It's just a thing between the Apple and the Dell that is not communicated. But it's all there. And there was a piece, actually, that was inspired by On the Good Red Interstate that I really wanted to read tonight, but I just found out that I still had those poems too late to find it. You know, because
mm-hmm.
I actually, if you do Facebook, friending me is a good idea.
I'll
because
that,
I actually
yeah.
write a poem every night.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to vote to see which one she gets
oh,
to read
nice.
On the radio.
Yep.
Nice. Are you familiar with the 1491s?
Yeah, I am.
Have you seen the computer medicine?
Yes. Yeah.
I taught
we
two of them.
Her on the
oh, you did.
Yeah,
yeah we,
I used to teach at
the
state.
Each other last.
I have a
last summer.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I guess it's been a few months.
It was actually it's because.
You know what else is really
Carol
funny?
Carol
is
and
the amendments.
Barbara did
James
a
James
thing,
James
and somebody told me that somebody in
I have lost
North Carolina and
Southern California.
And I said, well, let me know who it was, because
uh-huh.
maybe I know them, you know. And they said, Barbara Gravel, and I went, oh, yeah. So then I looked
yeah,
on,
know who I'm, yeah.
on Facebook, and there she
name.
Was.
There
so
she
yeah.
was.
Yeah. So we
really brilliant.
Traded books.
Yeah, we've been
did this whole thing on
she sent me
where he blesses his dental
yeah.
floss.
Oh, I have the first one.
And the amendments to it since the internet became such a thing.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
are
hilarious.
Yeah.
Just hilarious.
But what it has done
yeah.
is that whereas
a
lot of
yeah.
native
and
writers have previous
so
to that really existed very quickly in
the
locale.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot more communication going on.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah, well, they created that. And
you know, it's incredible.
I've been
getting each other published.
In touch with the Bay Area Poets Coalition
really
to say, this is your origins. These are your origins.
My uncle,
you know, because
UNIVAC and ILIAC and University
and
of Illinois.
They didn't know because when it went over to the East Bay, they just whoever was there just sort of took it and said, "I did it."
Oh, it took up
so
the whole base.
Don
and Hagel
and Sonoma was
tubes.
Around at the beginning,
oh, yeah.
of the so he and I sort of. Told them no, and so Barbara, they had a poetry contest.
Said that
they asked
there
Barbara
was absolutely no reason
judge.
That
oh, really?
This is
yeah.
an all-male situation,
yeah.
so I'm going to do a lot
so
of outreach to
the
place.
Well,
no.
we had
the
first poetry school.
The University of Illinois said they couldn't find any American Indian to join the computer engineering department. He said,
Jim,
oh,
do you know Frank Clay? I didn't
we
know
have
you
met.
Fired me.
But it was a while. And I have probably changed.
They have three.
Well, she spent a lot of time with my child.
Oh, great.
And you are? I see you have a tag. It's turned around.
Oh, no, that's my clipper card.
Oh,
that's my
card. Oh, I'm Sandy.
Cap.
Sandy?
Sandy. Sandy. I'm Mary Jane. There are a lot of people in Indiana that
you?
I... No, I live in San Francisco. That I met when I was I get
third grade
when we go to
the
grade. Seventh grade. So there are a lot of people who
there's something
I get to drive
or
something.
Yeah, you met me
when you
met
me.
I hate driving.
I remember Miguel you were welcome.
Yeah, we used to sit
we
at the table on occasion. That's great. And then I like driving, so you know, not I enjoy
no,
writing
yeah.
occasionally.
So he's thinking of moving.
Every once in a while, I will go along.
I have a friend now.
That's what Sue Carol told me.
I've been doing a loaded profiles project. And this young man who's an adjunct member of the Ohlone Tribe down in Pomona has come up here to work with us. And
okay, well, this
is
wonderful.
He's been driving
me around.
He's
going to be part of the family in the next year or so.
No,
I would imagine.
Sure.
Maybe even the end of this year if I get things going.
Yeah.
I'm going to do her book next. I'm doing a bunch of stuff right now.
That Kate
Age
has recently put out a book by him.
I have
to
look at that.
He lives way out in the foothills of this apartment. But he came, I have a gallery.
Have two left.
You know, Arthur Trask.
I have this one friend of mine.
Because we're trying to create a cultural center in San Francisco, an Ohlone-led cultural center.
Well, to have him come.
Do you have email?
I can send you his address.
I do a radio program on KPOO. And probably the easiest way, because my email is so long.